This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Emergency Coast to Coast podcast coming at you from inside Carolina. I am Joey Powell. We're brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt and also Congruity. All right. Appreciate everybody being here. Emergency podcast. You know how these work. If there's news to break, we will cut in with emergency pod for you and kind of discuss the happenings, especially if it's as heavy as what's happening right now. North Carolina forward Harrison Engram today announced via social media just a few moments ago that he is declaring for the NBA. And this was a decision, obviously, that I think the Engram family really wrestled with. I think it weighed on him quite some time. He transferred from Stanford after 2 years in Palo Alto, was just a really great impact player for the Tar Heels this past season, both in scoring, but also in rebounding. I mean, he was just an amazing rebounder, especially when you look at his conference-only numbers, and had a great impact from a leadership perspective on this roster. It was incredibly refreshing to see if you're a fan and follow the team. He's been wanting to get to the NBA since his freshman year. He came to North Carolina because he thought it would give him that opportunity. And here we sit. He's got that opportunity. So, Sean, first things first, I'll ask you, what is North Carolina losing because North Carolina is losing Harrison Engram?
Well, I think with losing Engram, you hit on a lot. And for a guy that Roy Williams recruited in high school, went to Stanford for 2 years and was only at UNC for one. I mean, you look at both him and Cormac Ryan, and it would be great to get transfers out of the portal like those guys that were fully bought in, fully there. Even though Engram had the NBA aspirations, I mean, there's been probably nobody else that has played with that type of joy and that type of passion that we've seen in quite some time. So, you know, I think they're losing really probably one of the guys that brought the team together and was able to push it just from a mental and emotional standpoint, which I definitely think, you know, is a very underrated aspect of the game and basketball. I think on the court, he did exactly what he wanted and probably what everybody was hoping for when he committed to Carolina. Was you looked at his stats at Stanford, you know, pretty much the same freshman and sophomore year stats, not overly efficient, struggled from three. And he pretty much, you know, across the board, he increased the efficiency, the 3-point percentage, especially in the non-conference where he was on fire. Obviously struggled a little bit at times during conference play, but picked it back up. But I think the leadership and once again, that ability, that 4-3 ability where he could, you know, there's maybe once or twice where he was a little undersized at the four to match up, but for the most part, he was the one creating the mismatches. And I think both offensively and defensively, that helped Carolina a lot. And you could also look at the Duke games where he was on fire and just couldn't miss and did what he did. So, you know, tremendous player. I think for a guy who was top 25 coming out of high school, most of those guys are one and done. So the fact that we did get a year of Harrison Ingram at a better stage, you know, versus freshman year, I think it was great for both parties, and it would have been nice to see him back again. But I think he's leaving at the right time for that next step, and to see, is it the NBA? Is it a two-way? Is it the G, you know, whatever that next step may be. But I think he's put himself in a good situation for next season.
I think folks oftentimes will get emotionally caught up in a player, especially when he's there for more than 1 year. But with a player like Harrison Ingram, who was so easy to like and was so much, was so effusive when he played, you know, there's so much emotion, so much joy, like you talked about a second ago when he was on the court for North Carolina. I think it's easy for Tar Heel fans to kind of to get lost in that. But you make a great point in a sense that these guys have a finite amount of time to play their career. They have a finite amount of time to prove their worth and to kind of move when their stock is at its highest. And he's coming off a season where he increased his scoring by 20%. He averaged almost nine rebounds a game, which was tied for top 50 in the nation. Had two assists a game. But the big thing, Sean, I think, is he shot 43% from the field last year, which you're like, okay, overall, that's not a great number, but almost 39% from three. And I think that's probably going to be something that he's going to have to rely on at the next level, is that perimeter shooting. And I think you have to consider that were he to come back, that number may have gone down next year. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you could look at it where, hey, he's just going to get better and improve. But at the same time, you know, I think there was such happiness and joy with this team. Not everything stays the same. And I agree, you know, maybe it comes down, maybe he keeps at the same level. But for him, you know, I think physically and mentally, he was ready to go. And from playing as well as he did, yes, he could probably improve a little bit, or maybe he gets first team all ACC or improves marginally. But at the same time, sometimes if your draft stock, no matter what you're doing, is in the same range, you know, I think this is always a good argument, but do you go now, or do you think, hey, if I can just get myself a little bit stronger, a little bit better? I'd say usually that's more with the freshmen going into their sophomores, where it's a little more apt, maybe say like a Tony Bradley situation. But I agree with you. And I think there is a lot of things that he's going to need to focus on as he tries to get in the NBA. I think one of the main things, though, is they're looking for skilled players and cerebral players. And I think he could fit a role, even if it's towards the end of the bench or whatever that is. So you don't have to worry about his intangibles. But once again, I think he's going to need what he showed from Stanford to UNC. He's going to have to show UNC to the next level to try to earn a spot.
I think if you've been paying attention to mocks too, you'll recognize he's been kind of creeping up a little bit. And I think that's only going to increase as he gets a chance to show out in some of these one-on-one workouts. And also when he gets a chance to sit down with some of these executives. I had about a 1 hour sit down with Harrison earlier this year, just talking about life and basketball and how he got to North Carolina and things that are important to him. And he's really impressive. He's a heck of a discussion. He's the type of person that everybody will want in their locker room and around their franchise. And I think that's only going to help him when he gets into the interview phase. So when you consider that, you consider what you were just saying, Sean, about, you know, kind of finding a role in the NBA. When you hear most folks talk about this draft class, a lot of folks think that it lacks that star power. It thinks that it lacks kind of the overall major impact players that, you know, that you typically see in a situation like this. And I think that bodes well for a guy like Harrison Ingram. Again, he interviews well. He's got a lot of different tools he can showcase for a team. And if the draft is relatively weak, then you've got to kind of put yourself out there while you have a chance. What do you see his fit being at the next level?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing before getting to that, you mentioned just interviewing him, and this is going back to going into his really junior and senior, you know, yeah, just junior and senior seasons, and got to watch him out here twice, two different summers in LA, and one interview did with Inside Carolina, and it was, you could tell at that point just how smart he was and level-headed, good family. But I also remember, you know, actually talking to his dad, and his dad said, "Hey, do you think he's good enough for Carolina?" And obviously, you know, it's fun to see him making it to Carolina after the stop at Stanford and now getting a chance to go to the NBA. In terms of his fit, you know, I think once again, a lot of it's going to come down to the shooting, but I think you're going to see once again that 4-3, most likely the three. But one thing I think we thought we were going to see more of, obviously with Elliot Cadeau coming in, was that playmaking, which he did show at Stanford, really high assist rate, good vision. AAU played point guard on Marcus Smart's AAU team. So I could see that probably coming a little bit more into the fold, but I think he's going to be a guy that ideally can make a niche off the bench where he can come in, score on occasion, but that's not his focus. Defensively, you know, I think not a A-plus defender, but the fact that he can switch, he is long. I think the quick twitch is probably something he's gonna have to work on in terms of just how fast everybody is in the NBA and the split second decision making. But I do think that 4-3 similar role, probably more in the three range, just given where he's comfortable at. But I think he has a lot of attributes that he's good at. Obviously, he has some weaknesses that I think he can hide. But that's probably going to be the main, you know, if you're a team drafting him, I think the best fit would be one of those playoff teams that can have a guy come in, you know, find a role and just as a good team player. And you can maybe hide some of those weaknesses or put him in spot situations where he can utilize his strengths. But I would say the playmaking is something that I would expect to see a little bit more of, just given his size and, you know, and what he can do, you know, from that perspective.
I think people should also realize, you know, you mentioned his playmaking ability. That's the type of thing that can really get you a long way in an NBA roster. You know, folks aren't going to need him to come in and be an immediate scorer. They're going to need him to come in and be a neutral to a plus on the floor. And I think his basketball IQ and his overall tool set will allow him to do that. Something else I think that's really important for him on the next level is he's physically a little bigger and a little more mature, on par with guys that are in the league. I think that's one of the things about, you know, sticking around an extra year in college. He talked about last year prior to the season how much he'd worked on leaning out and filling out, and how, you know, he was trying to get rid of weight in the wrong places and put it in the right places. And if you look, that really worked well for him this past season as he was able to rebound at a high clip, but also the way he was able to back down defenders that were equal to his height or even smaller. It gave him that little strength, that added strength that probably will work well for him as he starts getting into summer league tryout situations and going on against you know, grown men that you see in the NBA. I think he's more physically ready than he probably was last year at this time. So last thing I'll ask you, Sean, before we get out of here, and we're talking about Harrison Ingram has announced his intentions to enter the NBA draft. It's always been a dream of his. I will say for folks, Harrison loves everything about North Carolina. Loves. Like, he could not be more positive about his experience, the atmosphere, the fans. If you watch the video and the statement he put out on Instagram, all of that is true. This is not stuff that's just made up for the camera. But he got what he needed out of this transfer year, and that's good for North Carolina and for Harrison Ingram. Something else I would say is he's recruited for North Carolina. He has been very positive, and this is the type of scenario that Hubert Davis and his staff can say to guys like, look, Harrison's a perfect example of what what you may want to do. You come in here, we showcase you, you're on a national bright spotlit stage, and you can get to the NBA the way that you've always wanted to do. Oh, by the way, you can also, you know, get out of here with a strong education. So Ingram adding his years at Stanford with the 1 year he had at North Carolina has had some pretty good classroom knowledge shined upon him. So, Sean, I think the last thing we would say is, what is going to be the biggest thing that North Carolina needs to replace in Ingram's losing? You know, I know it doesn't always translate apples to apples from the college game to the pro game, but what's the biggest thing that North Carolina is going to need to look to replace on next year's roster for this space that Ingram has vacated?
Yeah, I think right now you've seen a lot of the names that have been popping up have been the true bigs that can replace Armando. I think, you know, there have been a few wings, but I think you are looking, which is this is hard, but this is once again, I think probably the most important position in college basketball is that 4-3 type of role where you're agile enough to play on the perimeter if needed, but you can bang down low and you're not going to be overpowered in the post if need be. So I think it is, once again, obviously the true five, I think, is a need. And then that 4-3, that is a threat from the outside, but versatile enough off the dribble and, can defend. So somebody in that 6-6 to 6-8 range, but that's a threat from outside and is versatile. They don't really grow on trees, especially, at that college level. But I think you are ideally looking for somebody that can toggle between the two and really be comfortable at maybe that stretch four spot, which has been probably the main focus point of Hubert in the transfer portal, starting with Brady, but just the biggest difference coming from the Roy Williams era. I think UNC has their work cut out for them in terms of finding those pieces that can fit. But definitely the 4-3 that's a threat from the outside, so you can't play off of them. But at the same time, has a versatile skill set both offensively and defensively.
Definitely. So that's the thing that folks should be looking for as North Carolina continues to interview and talk to potential prospects in the transfer portal. But again, Harrison Ingram, after 1 year at North Carolina, really revived his stock, had a chance to get himself back on draft boards. And even according to ESPN's Jonathan Giovanni, his last mock, he's got Ingram at number 34 to the Spurs, which, if you know anything about player and roster management and Greg Popovich in San Antonio, that'd be a great fit for him. Ingram's 21 years old. We all mentioned his stats earlier. It just feels like it's time for him, looking at everything that's going on with this particular draft class and what he was able to do in this 1 year at North Carolina. So he is heading to the NBA. I'm sure North Carolina fans, folks listening to this show, are probably going to wish him well. And again, it definitely sucks if you're a fan to watch him leave. But by the same token, man, what a great example of a kid coming in, buying in for a year, and kind of getting the rewards and awards, as Roy Williams used to say, because he was third team all ACC, getting the rewards of what a 1 year buy-in can really do for you. So North Carolina will now look to replace him in the transfer portal, though I'm sure there will be much news coming out about that. You know where to find it here on InsideCarolina.com. We're grateful to Johnny T-Shirt and for Congruity HR for sponsoring this show. Please check them out online. Big fans of theirs, and they are big supporters of Inside Carolina and all of our content. But until next time, for Sean Moran, I'm Joey Powell. Special shout out to John Siegley for producing. We will catch you all very, very soon. This has been an emergency edition of the Coast to Coast podcast. Harrison Ingram, adieu. Farewell. See you later, big man. Enjoy the league. This has been the Coast to Coast podcast on InsideCarolina.com. We'll talk to you soon.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.